Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Rachel Seller, the forensic nurse. Today is February the 6th, 2020, exposing medical crime one misdiagnosis at a time. Today, I have my lovely sister, Kate Shimarani, United Kingdom and United States nurses coming together to expose government and scientific corruption. Welcome, sister.
Hi, welcome to you too. Thank you for having me.
So let me just give you a report what's going on here in the United States. Okay, the propaganda is in full force for pushing the vaccines. We have this coronavirus situation. I've recently come down with a virus. I was around somebody who was sick. I don't get knocked down as hard as other people. But everything that we're seeing on the news is mostly fake, like the HHS.gov, CDC. I mean, these are the worst people that we want in charge making decisions. And so what I see happening, the WHO, you know, these globalists are getting together, and we have the patent. We know United States owns the patent for the coronavirus. This is nothing new. So this is a manufactured outbreak. All the news is trying to hype everything up. Okay, mind you, do spread chemtrails in every state in the United States, also in UK. So whether it's coming by air, they're putting it in the vaccines. The media is trying to hype this thing up. They even had an airplane with a guy in a biohazard suit, like in the passenger seat in the airplane, and then someone got in front of the plane and took a picture. I mean, it just looks so ridiculous.
Yeah, we've seen people, you'll have a passenger on the bus in a biohazard suit, and then the driver's sitting there not in one. It is ridiculous. And of course, one of the things that I did when I was researching, which was really interesting for me, was when the vector technology, which is a mechanism by which molecular biologists insert new genes into viruses and bacteria. And this coronavirus strain has shown that it's a laboratory origin. And the Wuhan strain of the virus has an inserted element at the end terminus of the genome. And that was a scientist, a really renowned scientist, who he analyzed the whole genome. And okay, the weird element matched vector technology first published in 1998 in the proceeding of National Academy of Science. So they can absolutely say that vector technology virus is not a wild strain. It's a laboratory. Well,
it's not a secret either. Okay. Like if we're going to stand up and be leaders in our community, we have to speak the truth. And I don't know what kind of nurses would come against you or try to, you know, burn you at the stake for speaking the truth, because right now we're dealing with lying spirits, and this is that spiritual battle. I'm asking, where are the other nurses supporting you? Because we have quite a bit of woke nurses here in the United States. I have yet to be attacked by anybody other than the paid propaganda puppet, Jeff Holliday, but he did a spoof. Did a spoof on Mike Adams, the health ranger, too. So I was like, you know what? It's because we're speaking the truth.
There's only one thing worse than being talked about, not being talked about at all. I've kind of found that there are some nurses who support me, and they give me information of where they work and what's going on. But there are those, there's a nurse at the moment who's been extremely rude, slanderous actually, and is forgetting she's on social media speaking, using language which isn't acceptable for our profession. And she's doing this on social media. So she's doing it from a point of ignorance. She doesn't know what we know.
Is this another nurse, a registered nurse?
Yeah. She's kind of, it's on a local chat thing. And I'm not even interested in going on it. But what I spoke about on the radio was evidence-based. And it can all be completely backed up. So to turn around and say, I'm not interested in the evidence, that's ignorance. And as nurses, we are accountable for our acts and our omissions, and we should advocate for the patient. So that means if you give a drug that is very dangerous and something happens to that patient, you're accountable. And I'm not for one prepared to let anybody go and have, say, the HPV vaccine without really informing them. I'm about to do a video on it. So everything that I talk about is evidence-based. So if someone really wishes to have a conversation with me, then they need to read the evidence as well, and then we can have a good discussion. But I won't waste my time, because in a court of law, as you know, ignorance is no excuse. And that is where a lot of the people are coming from. A lot of the nurses, they don't know how to heal a body. A lot of doctors don't know how to heal a body. They don't know much about immunity. And it's very short what they're told. I was actually told by a pharmacist that she doesn't read out all the inserts to the patient. She said, doctors don't, we don't have time.
We don't have time. You told me that. Yeah. And
this
is the same scenario in the United States that I will say they don't read the insert. They really don't know what's in it. And when you bring up a thing like, if a client's like, no, thank you. I don't want MRC5, but the pharmacist will look at them like they have two heads. I mean, my moms of vaccine injured children know more than the doctors do. They're the greatest teachers. I want to talk about how you got recently a virus. You know, it's really not that bad, but I want to talk about the natural remedies. I said, I don't need a single antibiotic in my house. And I just did a video where I had my oregano leaf, because I grow it in the back and it's so easy. I had made myself a juice with the raw garlic and the ginger and the lemon, but you had brought up the nebulizing the colloidal silver. And that's something that I personally have done and do in my home, because I don't believe in antibiotics and I don't want anything from pharma. So tell me about that.
Well, as you know, I got really sick in January, and it was a combination of burning the candle at both ends. Everyone in my town virtually that I spoke to had the flu vaccine, so they were probably all shedding. And I started off, I got this cold, and then I got the worst sore throat I've ever had, which one could argue, is that Epstein-Barr? Is it reactivation of Epstein-Barr? 90% of the population have it. Then I got very quickly, within 48 hours, I had herpes simplex along my lower lip, my upper lip, up my nose, in my ear canal. And then I felt like I was getting one on my cornea. And then this just got worse and worse, till eventually I couldn't put my head down, because I clearly had bacterial sinusitis. I kept spiking temperatures of over 40. And so I thought, you know what, I need to do what I would tell a patient to do. So I did every day, the bulb of garlic, the chunk of ginger, the chunk of turmeric, 4 lemons, and I juiced it, and it made a shot of about that. And I knocked it back. I would absolutely advocate knocking it back. Don't sip that, because when it hits the stomach, you know all about it.
Yeah.
And then I did carry on juicing my carrot and apple juice. I did struggle a little bit to eat because I was so off food. And then finally, I knew that, I was coughing. I couldn't breathe. I had so much congestion in my nose. So I began doing 4-hourly colloidal silver nebulizers. Now, I only had 30 parts per million. You don't need to use 30. I think you can use 10, but that was all I had in the house. So I would breathe it in first. And then once my nose cleared, which it did very quickly, I started just using my nose to breathe it in with the mask. And within 48 hours, straight away, as soon as I would do the nebulizer, my nose would start running with really yellow mucus and blood, fresh blood. Like a tap, it would just run. And then the pressure stopped in this side of my face. Within 48 hours, my nose had dried up completely. Everything was good, and I felt back to normal. So and yet, the whole illness had taken 14 days, but within 48 hours and I did the garlic every day. I think I did it like 4 days, I continued. I also put some iodine in my juice, 2 drops of 2% Lugol's half strength, which of course, everything, viruses, fungus, bacteria will all die with iodine. It's been used for a long, long time. So I did that as well in my juice. Mm. And also, I don't, as a rule, I don't eat meat, and I'm vegan apart from I'll eat a little bit of fat-free yogurt or fat-free cottage cheese. But what I did was I tried to stick completely to no dairy because of the mucus. And also, when you eat a plant-based diet, I think it was Thomas Tallberg he did lots of studies where when you increased the amount of protein, the animal protein in the diet, the T lymphocytes required to kill viruses, fungus, and cancer actually go down. When right. you limit that, the count goes up. So it would make sense if you were sick to stick to completely plant-based as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And you said that there was a lot of
antibiotics, nothing.
You said that there was a lot of other people sick in your town as well.
Yeah, everyone was coughing and spluttering and had this terrible cold and cough that was going on for weeks.
Yeah, so we don't know where it's coming from. So that's the thing I just want to talk about is that, you know, the media is all fake, okay? So whether they're putting the stuff in the vaccines, they're spraying it by air, this stuff is going around. So being prepared is, you know, so important. And I tell people, I don't need antibiotics. Everything I need to get well, I don't care if it's Ebola or swine Zika, is that I have in my house. But, you know, this is very concerning that we're lacking so much unity with, you know, like you speak the truth and you get attacked. Okay, that's typical stuff. But remember, we're dealing with the lying spirit. So who are these people that are going to push the lie? I mean, if they're listening to the government, I mean, this is United States nurse telling you that our whole entire system is corrupt here all the way to the top. I don't think that your system is any different. In fact, it's probably worse. So it's like we have to, as nurses, step away from the propaganda and advocate for the truth, because that's really what nurses are. We're educators, we're advocates.
And we advocate for the patient, and in our code of conduct, we're responsible, we're accountable for our acts and our omissions. And that also means that I'm not only accountable for what I do, but if I see a colleague doing something which puts a patient at risk and I say nothing, I'm accountable for her actions as well. And so for me, you know, I went into nursing because I have a love of my fellow man. And what I see now is just, I see a lot of pharmaceutical pimping where, you know, everything is about applying a drug first. And I know that from even looking at when I have people come to me that are sick with cancer or any other degenerative disease. I posted today about prostate cancer. No one tells a prostate cancer patient that the zinc, he needs zinc because the zinc is stored in the prostate, and zinc will actually inhibit the conversion of good testosterone into the bad testosterone, which leads to prostate cancer. But none of these charities or the nurses or the doctors are telling the patients this. So what you have is a whole healthcare system. Is it a healthcare system? Which is just leaning on pharmaceutical drugs. And everything is about recognizing a symptom, applying a drug. Then that drug will give off loads of side effects, and you'll apply a load more drugs for those side effects. I was recently, one of the things I'll do for charity, one of my things I do is I fill in forms for the elderly. I help them fill in their attendance allowance forms when they want to get disability badges. And I was given this list of medicines from a gentleman who, he had so many medicines and so many health issues in his early 70s, and it all began with a statin drug in his 40s. And I could have mapped that out, what would happen to him. Because the side effects from the statin leads on to the heart, then you get the drugs for that, then you have stomach acid, so they give you a drug for that, then you can't absorb your calcium, so you get... And so you can actually map out what's going to happen to this patient, and that's what we see. So we see repeat prescriptions, and these patients are just eating poor food, making poor food choices, getting bathed in Wi-Fi, and everything else that you talk about. I see them spraying all the time. And then they think that by taking a pharmaceutical drug, that's going to end everything. It's going to make them well. And it won't. It never will.
Well, this is the thing. Like, we have to re-educate, and we need unity. All right. Unity is one of the most important things as nurses. Okay. So vaccines were never safe, never effective, because they're made with GMO strains. So it's like this mantra, this, you know, government propaganda has been put in our face for so long. Now, the biggest concern I have is the propaganda, okay? Because we have to have people that are going to speak truth and do the anti-propaganda. We've got signs talking about mercury that, you know, that aluminum is okay. The Gardasil advertisement, and it said Gardasil myth, that aluminum has been injected over 1 billion people and we've had no problem. This is the propaganda we're dealing with. So as nurses, do we really want to sit here and say, here, take this GMO vaccine? It's just a little bit of mercury. It's just a little bit of aluminum. We can't sit here and try and rationalize lies and believe this delusion. So this is also going back to the scripture about believing the delusion. And this vaccine thing and pharmaceutical drug thing is the delusion. We need none of it.
Yeah, and I think as well, we have all this healthcare. It does really stick in my throat to say healthcare. And yet we have the sickest children. We have more food allergies. We have spiraling autism. We have spiraling cancer, 1 in 2. All the charities are estimating it's going to be everybody. All the charities talk about living with cancer and living well. I'm not sure what that means.
It's a scam. It's the same scam over there. And that's important because they're still racing for the cure over here. Yeah. They do these fundraisers. And I'm just like, how are all of these people so blind?
Well, that's all kind of, it's very cleverly done because, you know, Christmas, Easter, all of these things, people have, you know, Valentine's Day, these things are all done and they make a lot of money and people come together and they look forward to it. And now you have the race for life and they pack a big picnic, they dress up, they all go to a park, hundreds and hundreds of people, and it becomes a celebration day. So it's actually just a day of getting together. It probably would be really good to make a day that's called, you know, Wellness Day, Uncover the Truth. That might be a day.
Cancer thing, here it's like the Susan Cohen, G. Cohen, whatever her name is, drive pink. And they'll have pink license plates and the pink this. It all goes back to the vaccine. So as nurses, re-educating people about not spreading disease, like coughing into here, not into your hands, like, this is basic stuff.
Washing your hands when you've been on public transport.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing. You go down the London Underground, you touch every handrail as you go down. Thousands of people washing your hands. Every time you go through a ticket machine, you've touched your ticket, you're putting your ticket in, where everyone else has touched theirs, coming out the other side. Money is one of the biggest things that will carry bacteria as well. And it's basic things like wash your hands. Wash your hands as soon as you come into your home. If you're sick, don't go to work. Don't send your kids to school. Keep them home. Isolate them. Give them high-dose vitamin C. Give them camu in a juice. Give them carrot juice with carrot and apple. It's really sweet. As you know, it's the immunity vitamin, vitamin A. It's amazing. These are all basic things. And if it's a virus, going to your doctor for antibiotics is not going to help you. It's a virus.
No, and neither is Tamiflu, because they ask me, well, what's in the flu shot or what's in the Tamiflu? And I say poison. So it doesn't matter, even if you knew what was in it or you didn't, it's still poison. You don't need it. But I want to share something with you. I have this client that she wanted me to go public with her case. She's 26 years old. She lives in Brooklyn, New York. She's severely vaccine injured. Had the flu shot every year. Let me just show you what this looks like. There's so many cases like her. Now, her biggest thing is she's mold toxic. She's been tested by Great Plains Laboratory and she's positive for three different types, different metabolites. And one of them is related to the penicillin. I started to look at the vaccine ingredients and I said, yeast. Okay, the Gardasil had yeast. I said, how many Gardasil did you have? She had three. Then she went to go get a job in the hospital and then they hit her with the Hep B vaccine and she had just had all these vaccines. So I said, I was talking to Dr. Dim yesterday, the holistic veterinarian. I said, I want to show you this mold case because I'm starting to realize the yeast, GMO yeast that they have in the vaccines is part of the reason why we have mold toxic population now. And I said, she's not getting better. She's doing all the most sophisticated protocols. She's still mold toxic and she's got this severe brain fog. So I just wanted to tell you that, and I'll show you her labs. What do you think of this mold thing?
Well, my son has been really ill, and he has all those symptoms. And, you know, I've tried to, and they were given TB vaccine when they were 2 days old and they were premature. And he growled straight away for 3 months, and my daughter slept and had gut issues. So, you know, that's where we're using this new a PBX, this new heavy metal detox product that we're trying.
Oh, so this is the other thing. So get this. So this is a complicated case. So she has dysautonomia. So when she's tiny like me, 110, 110 pounds. When she goes to stand up, her blood pressure will drop. She's positive for orthostatics. The other thing about her is that her heart rate will run up to like 120, let's say. She could just
Exactly like my son. My son collapsed.
Laying in bed. Now here's here's, I came across this amazing girl's research. It's called Tracking Vaccinations. And she basically has a busted feedback loop. So she's taking a steroid, cortisone, which is going to block her antibody response, right? So now she's going to have secondary infections with this mold thing, but it's the aluminum, the brain, it also, not only the mold causing this feedback loop to be busted, but in her case, she has a gene where she can't make an antibody to the mold. So this is like a very complicated case, and I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's, what is it, TGF beta 1 or something. There's a couple different genes where they can't make an antibody to the mold. So now you have...
You need to send me some of that, because that'd be quite interesting to read. And I mean, tell me about that gene and I'll go and read about it.
So she's positive for this mycophenolic acid, okay? It's produced by the penicillin fungus. So that's one. So we know some people that had allergies to the vaccine. It was because they used to put whatever, penicillin, they put neomycin. So she's mold toxic, all right? She's got three different types. I'm not going to say that it's all from her moldy apartment. I started to suspect. I said, well, what kind of yeast? Don't specify in the vaccine. So now you have mold toxic population that's not getting better. And I was asking Dr. Dim about this case here.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. My son, they were vaccinated day two, premature, before I kind of woke up to it all, and with TB, and he growled for 3 months.
Now, growled, now he like now cried?
Growled. He literally growled. He used to go for 3 months.
So you said he had the dysautonomia also?
Yeah. So then he got to last year. He's almost 19. Just before his 18th birthday, he collapsed. He was in the resuscitation room. And then a week later, blood pressure would drop, his legs go numb, his pulse goes really high.
Okay. I've heard about this now. This is like, okay, somebody sent me a video. I'm going to have to get it to you. This is what they figured out about like 18 years later, that it's like a regression happens and it's related to the vaccine. It's funny that you talked about that feedback loop, the heart rate and the blood pressure being off whack. So like, goal is to get her off this drug that's suppressing her immune system. The doctor put her on this cortisone steroid to increase her blood pressure because it goes so low.
Yeah, they wanted to do that with my son. And I juiced him, gave him chlorella, cilantro, spirulina, put him on the Beamer mat. He's upright, but he still gets episodes. So now I'm going to do a heavy metal detox on him with this PBX.
And so this is an interesting point that it's kind of like a regression. I would really look at the mold component too, because like after, and then the retrovirus, so these retroviruses get in after a certain period of time goes by, that's like, like a time bomb, and it just, antiviral stuff. I mean, you're doing everything perfect, but this is weird that we have this similar issue with that dysautonomia.
Yeah. And you know what? He's a teenager, so you have to get him when he stays at his girlfriend's a few days. But he was brought home the other day because he collapsed in the street.
It's the aluminum.
And he had a heart monitor on for a week, 7 days a week, 24 hours. It even showed it happening in his sleep.
So the aluminum can be very difficult to get out of the brain, because the researcher was telling me how the aluminum and the viral particles bind together.
Yeah.
And you got to go on trackingvaccinations.com. She worked with Dr. Wakefield, actually. So he drew these incredible maps, and this mold toxic client that I have in Brooklyn, she asked me to go public with this and ask around for information. But this is a complicated case. And I think that the vaccines play such a huge role in this whole equation with everything. And now with vaccine injury law and doing this kind of stuff, is really, most people are misdiagnosed, and it all goes back to the vaccine.
It does. You know, when I worked as a flight attendant, and in the UK, you used to get a lot more money as a flight attendant than you did as a nurse. I think it's different in the States. But, cabin crew for British Airways that fly 7 to 10 years, they're 10 times the national average for cancer. 10 times. And they're all sick. They get MS. They've got autoimmune diseases. We had loads of vaccines. So I had vaccines as a child, vaccines as a nurse, vaccines when I flew. You get loads of vaccines when you're long haul crew. Then you're working in a cabin with all that radiation, cosmic radiation, that circulated air, And then now it's the, you know, they pull the aviation fuel through the engine, the air through the engine.
The benzene, right? You guys, they had high toxicity of benzene.
Yeah, so crew are really sick. And you know, all I hear, it's the same with my son, is brain fog. They get brain fog. They get weak. And what happens is, well, you know this, they go to the doctor and they'll do all the bloods and they'll look for specific markers. With my daughter, it was missed. She had high platelets, low erythrocyte sedimentation. Classic, it means that it's undiagnosed inflammation in the gut. She was having nosebleeds, Raynaud's symptoms, bloating. She gets all of this. This is all, as you know, heavy metals sitting in the gut and in the organs. And what do they call that when you go to the doctors? They call it colitis and Crohn's.
And this is the key thing that people really need to understand. Like, even when we talked about MS, multiple sclerosis. Now, what does that really mean?
The symptoms.
So Dr. Stoller says, well, that means many scars. Well, many scars from what?
And with MS, you know, Epstein-Barr virus, 90% of the population have it. Mm-hmm. When you test, I was reading something where they tested all of the myelin sheath, the autopsy that was damaged. It all tested 100% positive for Epstein-Barr. So Epstein-Barr virus is one of the cold sore family, one of the herpes family. So what do they put patients on that have got MS? They give them drugs to suppress their immunity, interferon. Well, that means that then you have the virus is going to keep reactivating. It hides in the B cells of the myelin sheath and the thyroid. So then your immunity goes, I need to attack that. And you get that damage, that bystander effect. Well, by giving the patient then this drug to suppress their immunity, you're just going to keep letting that virus reactivate on you. And so you get more and more damage. But what do they call it? They call it MS. And there was no MS.
I don't trust any drugs. I got to the point where here, I was pushing the pill cart. I said, I'm going to get out from behind this pill cart so I can go behind the pulpit and speak the truth and read the word of God. I said, if I thought there was one pill in here, I got to the point where I didn't even trust what was in the bottles. I'm like, this shit's not even made in this country. And here I was with a needle with an MS patient. And I started to suspect. I called the pharmacist. I go, what is this pre-filled syringe, Copaxone? I'm going in there, giving this lady an injection every day. I said, this isn't helping you, is it? She says, no. I said, I don't see any change in your symptoms. She's probably misdiagnosed with Lyme disease anyway, right? So here I was pushing this poison day after day. And this poor woman, I'm like, I don't even know what the heck I'm giving. This poison.
Yeah. And you know, this is we're supposed to, and I'm a prescriber. We have to know the drug that we're giving, the side effects, contraindications, what it's for. We have to know it's got to be within our scope of practice. Whatever drug we give, it's got to be within our scope of practice. You can't just prescribe anything. But we're supposed to know. And when you're giving a drug that a doctor's prescribed, you're supposed to know because you're accountable, you're giving it. And I was sitting in class at Brighton University with a lot of other nurses. And one of the nurses there, she was saying, oh, the doctor gave this. I would have given this, this, and this. And I'm thinking through my head, well, I would have advised her to change her diet. Then I would have advised her to clean up her environment, get rid of all her synthetic estrogens. But that mentality isn't about, you know, just talking basically about menopause. The mentality is if you have menopausal symptoms, take HRT. And what do we know about HRT? When you take that for 7 to 10 years, even when that drug was made, they knew that it would cause endometrial cancer, but they rolled it out. And when the lawsuits rolled in, they were settled out of court, pulled the drug, change 1%, roll out a new drug. Now, no one, in some cultures, they don't even have a word for menopause. No one's saying to these women, well, actually, you know what? If you clean your diet up, take away all the synthetic estrogens, all of your pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, look at everything you're cleaning your house with, look at everything with an aroma, look at your makeup, all these hormone disruptors, switch everything to clean. You won't get any of these symptoms. Now, I can stand by that because at 48 years old, diagnosed at 46, 48 and a half, I'm menopaused. I've never had a hot flush. I don't suffer from any of the symptoms that I read about. And I'm menopaused before both of my older sisters. So it couldn't be genetic. It couldn't be genetic. Oh, excuse me. I'm just...
Want to tell you something real quick about Dr. M, the holistic veterinarian over here. And he's on my webpage, all his information. He said that after they give some of the dogs the vaccines, they would get like venereal disease. That he would look at the
penis
and the penis, it would have green discharge. And I got to the point where I'm like, we don't even know what we're injecting. Like, they're straight bioweapons. Then he would say that the dogs get like, it affects the genitourinary system, that it would be like venereal disease. So then I was like, I had the same thing with a dog. She started to have the skin conditions, the inflammation, the fungus, the ear infection.
Yep.
Down there, she, in her area, she had this, you know, like yeast infection, same thing.
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, my pets aren't vaccinated anymore and they live forever. One of my cats was 23. But we don't even, you know, all of these pets now, you're seeing them getting dementia. My dog's growling because he's got a biscuit in his bed. You see them getting dementia. You see them getting thyroid problems. I mean, who heard of a dog getting dementia? And then all the cats will be on thyroid medication with cysts all over their thyroid gland.
Oh, yeah.
And so it goes on. It's unheard of. Cats and dogs getting cancers.
I was going to comment on your hormone thing. Dr. David Brownstein here in the United States wrote the book on iodine. He says you'll never have optimal hormone function if you're iodine deficient. So you'll see like high estrogen is also a symptom from being deficient in iodine. So yeah. That whole thing.
And as well, you know, one of our main Cancer Research UK, a charity I really hate, they state on their website that fibrocystic breast disease does not lead to breast cancer. But I think it was the 2004 New England Medical Journal, it's over 800 comprehensive study. It says
iodine deficiency is key with that.
Yeah. And so, you know, in puberty, boys and girls before puberty, the ratio of goiter inflammation in your thyroid is 1:1. When they hit puberty, it's 10 girls to every boy. And the reason for that is the breasts compete for the iodine. We'll pull it from the thyroid. And lack of iodine in the breasts cause tenderness, pain, inflammation, cysts, fibrocystic breast disease, tumors. The same as the thyroid, the same as in the ovaries. And this is not talked about. And so what do they do in the water supply? They're putting fluoride in it, chlorine, bromine. It's in all your fire retardants. And then you have a lot of medications have fluoride in them.
Right.
And then it just goes on, and people, unless people are trained in how to heal a sick body, how can they call themselves healthcare professionals? You're not a healthcare professional. You're a pharmaceutical pimp. That's what you are. That is all right. It is.
Yeah, it's the same thing here. You know, it's exact the same thing here. And in Australia, when I talk to Real News Australia, the same thing is going on. The bigger the breast, the more iodine you need. And this is the foundation of natural medicine, is basically learning how to reverse any and all disease process using natural foods and the herbs as medicine. I mean, when I'm sick, I took whole ginger that I grew out in the back. I smashed it up. I take cardamom pods. I take whole cinnamon cinnamon, and I just boil it in a pot and I make like herbal stuff. And it's just like, you start to really just fall in love with it when you learn, you know, all the properties of the plants.
You do. And I think as well, I buy whole bulbs of garlic, and this is one of the things that I really love. So I get a jar and I put half cold pressed flaxseed in it, half apple cider vinegar with mother. And then I put two whole bulbs of garlic. And what you do, people go, oh, I don't like the smell and cutting it. If you put a bulb of garlic in a jar and screw the lid and just shake it, just keep shaking it, it will completely peel it. You'll just be left with the little individual segments, completely clean. So I put all the segments of two bulbs of garlic into this apple cider vinegar. And every day, I probably eat about 5 cloves of fresh garlic. And people are using dried garlic. And it doesn't have, unless it's freeze-dried and organic, it doesn't have the properties in it that you need. And I think is it Genesis 1:21-30? God says, I leave you everything, every seed-bearing fruit, this will be our meat.
Right.
And he leaves the vegetation. Everything that we need to know is in the oldest book. Everything. Absolutely everything. You can go through the entire Bible and it tells you how to prepare your foods. It tells you how to live. It's quite remarkable that this, you know, that it actually, and when we look at the seeds in the fruits of the trees, what did they have in the seeds? Vitamin B17. Two molecules of glucose, one of benzaldehyde, one of cyanide, completely inert when it comes into contact with beta-glucosidase, which is found 3,000 times greater in cancer cells. Synergy occurs between the cyanide and the beta-glucosidase, and then it goes in and kills the cancer cell. Then it filters through the liver, becomes an analgesic, becomes an antiseptic, regulates blood pressure. How utterly amazing is that from God's table? Incredible. Incredible. And this is all forgotten, completely forgotten. They'd rather pump mustard gas into your veins, collapse your veins, destroy your liver, destroy your entire immune system. And for what? It doesn't work. Less than 3% in a 92,000 comprehensive patient study who had chemo. How many were alive at 10 years? Under 3%.
Yeah.
There's pushing.
There's no mystery to solving cancer. You can always reverse disease. And brothers and sisters, it starts with not defiling your temple with the toxic vaccine. Sister Kate, thank you so much for taking this time today. We're going to wrap it up for now. And tell us where we can reach you.
You can reach me on Facebook, or you can email me, kateshemirani@gmail.com. I'm on Messenger. I have got a new website, which is taking me ages to write the stuff because I'm a mommy and working and everything else and moving houses. But my new website will go up. And of course, I'll link up with you, Rachel, and we'll link up with both websites. And then hopefully you're going to come to the UK and I'm going to come to the States. And Natural Nurse in a Toxic World is going to pitch up with Rachel Seller, the forensic nurse, and we'll go from there.
Yes. Thank you so much, guys. You can reach me at rachelseller.org or theforensicnurse.org. Signing off.